it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. We have such a special and extraordinary show for you today. When we created Hourglass Bride, it was our deepest desire to bring to you the very best experts around the world who had the tools, the secrets, the techniques to live that happily ever after life. The kind of life you always knew that you dreamed of or desired or deserved. And week after week, the doors have opened, secrets have been unveiled, and as the years have gone by, the show has shifted so much because of you and what you're looking for and what your needs are and what your desires are. And as we've talked from first time being married and that dream of stepping into the happily ever after, to people who have been married 50, 60 years looking to deepen their love, to people who have lost a spouse or loved one, and the greatest relationships that we've talked about the ones that we've had with ourselves, are with our family, with our mothers, with their grandmothers. And so today's guest really is the cherry on every sundae of the sweetness and the essence of life. Today we are talking with one of the most extraordinary women, talented women, and gifted women that I've ever come across. Today we are talking with Bree Seeley. Bree has launched in the world of fashion and along the way met so many incredible people. She decided to share their inspirational stories. And we're so thrilled to bring her with you today. The first time that I ever had the opportunity to watch Bree in motion, I was mesmerized. Sometimes there's light and joy and effervescence that just emanates and pours from somebody. And it's one thing to walk around with a bag of gifts and talents and to be able to really hold those gifts and talents and share them with the world. But to be able to share your heart and spirit and soul and wisdom and love is a whole other side of a person, and she does it all. So I'm excited, I'm thrilled, and I'm honored to bring on today's guest, Bree Seeley. Bree, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you. That was a lovely introduction.
Oh, thank you. It's so incredible having you here. And truly, the first time that I was ever able to watch you work and to watch you in action, we met at this extraordinary event. And you are such a bright light. You're such a radiant, glorious being that without doing anything, you're just beautiful and wonderful and special. And then the way that you share is extraordinary. And so I guess my first question is one of my favorite questions to ask, and it's something I'm always just curious as an individual and as a person, and I love to share it with my audience, but it's the did you know factor. Like when you were 6 and 7 and 8 years old and other women want to be Miss America or they want to be a teacher, a nurse, or an astronaut or whatever, president, was there something in you that was always drawn to fashion and clothes? And did you always have the ability to kind of share with other women your light?
Not really. I had kind of more of a tumultuous, like, upbringing. Not all of it. There were definitely pieces of it that were tumultuous, and those unfortunately overshadowed a lot of the really great stuff that was happening in my life. But I was really fortunate, you know, I was raised by a single mom, and because, you know, she was working like 3 jobs when I was growing up, and so I got to spend a lot of time with my grandparents as well. So my grandmother is actually the one that taught me how to sew, and I was very young. I mean, I was around 7. I mean, I have this little book called All About Me from when I was, I think, 6 or 7, and I wrote into it, like, what my favorite activity at the time was, and it was sewing. So, yeah, well, I don't think I've always, like, consciously chosen it. I feel like it almost kind of chose me, and that I've just kind of, like, followed the doors that have opened. And just kind of pursued it. When I ended up in college, the college that I was at had a fashion program, and I was like, oh, I'll just take a few classes to, like, brush up on my technical sewing skills. And that led into a bachelor's degree, including a year studying abroad in Europe. And then when I graduated, I was like, wow, I'm not ready to be an adult yet. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to get my master's. And so I ended up back in Europe again getting my master's. And it's just been like one thing after another. These doors keep opening in the realms of fashion. And it's really only been in the past 8 months that I've started allowing and opening up to the women's side of things. Like I've always done women's fashion, but, you know, fashion can be kind of a superficial industry. And it's really, like I said, only in the past 8 months that I've started opening up to the extra stuff for me that's more than just fashion. That's connecting with women on a deeper level, inspiring them past just what they wear, you know, kind of getting into their heads and their hearts and their souls, and helping them kind of figure out what their pasts are and then how they kind of want to fulfill that, and then also getting to dress them in addition to all of that. So,
well, you know, it's interesting that you said that because I love your clothes, by the way. I mean, and that is an understatement. There is, you know, I could probably just spend the hour just talking about how wonderful they are. And I remember that when I was a child, my father had a book on our coffee table on, it was the PGA golf tours. And sometimes when I was having a bad day, I would go and I would page through the PGA golf tour book. And it was so soothing to see the lakes and the trees and the green grass. And by the time I was done paging through the PGA golf tour book, whatever somebody said to me at school or a bully or whatever had passed. It was just, yeah. There was a soothing ease of the lovely pictures. And when I look at your fashion, it's the same thing happens. It's
awesome. So
pretty and flowy and seamless, and just the colors are so light and so luscious, and it just, you just look from one picture to the next, and you just feel better to look at it, even without buying them or wearing them.
Oh,
it just makes you so lovely.
It's I love it. I mean, like I said, I've been doing it forever, and it's really only within the past, I guess, few years that I've even really kind of embraced the talent and skill level that I have and really started running with it. And each year, you know, gets a little bit bigger, and but yeah, it's for me, it's less about making pretty things and more about like the woman that's going to be wearing it. And how, for me, it's all about how that woman's going to feel in it and what activities is she going to do and how is the dress going to work with her during that day. And so I try to, I love making pretty things, don't get me wrong. I try and make the garments like a little more tactical as well. Like I will make myself a sample and wear it out to a networking event and make sure that it's going to withstand, you know, business cards and cell phones in the pockets and all these things. And so yeah, it's fun. I like it, but it's for me. It's definitely more than just the fashion aspect of it. So
that's incredible. Okay, so I have a question for you here. Then
yeah,
we have a lot of people that are just getting married listening to the show, and we also have a lot of people that are newly married. And one of the fashion questions that has come up, and I've really never had anybody to really talk to or ask about this, is for new moms. Because a lot of times somebody has a baby and then they don't feel like they have time to take care of themselves, that they're now, you know, bottle feeding or running around, or they have a wild two-year-old, and people lose that sense of fashion or style and they say, I don't have time to. Is there a way that you can still feel good, look good, even when you're super crazy busy or focused on someone or something else?
I mean, I think so. You know, I mean, my perspective on this is definitely going to be a little, like, colored a little differently because I'm not a mom. I have never been pregnant. I actually do not want to have children. So for me, you know, maybe it's easier for me to sit here and say, yeah, of course, you can always get dressed, you know. I don't know if I necessarily know the reality of that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, there's ways. I know a lot of moms aren't necessarily comfortable with the changes that happen in their body after childbirth, and there are definitely ways to dress to that without, you know, just throwing on sweats and a sweatshirt. And it's really just getting reacclimated to how your body is. I have a lot of clients that will come to me and say, oh, well, I really, really, really want to buy something, but I'm only going to buy it after I lose 15 pounds. And my answer to those people is, I want to dress you as you are. Like, I don't want you to feel like you have to be perfect in order to look good. I think that every woman can dress beautifully, no matter your shape, your size, your, you know, whether you've had babies or not had babies or whatever. I think there are definitely ways to highlight certain areas of your body to feel more comfortable in what you're wearing. So, you know, for me, can I sit here and say, yeah, it's super easy. Like, everyone can just get up and get dressed in the morning. But I don't necessarily know if I fully understand the other side of the coin to be able to give that, like, a hugely comprehensive answer. But what I would say is, you know, one thing for me on the super lazy days where I'm like, oh, I have so much going on and I'm not going to see anyone and I really just, like, I need to put on clothes that don't matter for the day. One of my easiest go-to staple pieces is a maxi dress. One piece. You don't have to worry about matching pants and shirts and shoes and, like, all these things. Even today, I'm in a maxi dress and I just threw on a pair of, like, gladiator sandals on the way out the door this morning. So that for me is one piece that's, like, really simple. And it's a dress, so you still get that feminine aspect to it. So, yeah.
That's such a great answer. I love that. And I love the fact that you're just talking about how anybody, you know, can feel beautiful and wanting to dress somebody for who they are now. And so how has that worked on your journey of getting to know women, and how has that influenced your style and fashion as you go deeper into the woman's soul and heart?
I think a lot of it for me, like when I design for women, is just really understanding the multiple areas that are demand, like the multiple things that are demanded of us in any given day. You know, I mean, we as women fill so many roles in the world, you know, whether it's from a mom to a wife to a business person or an entrepreneur, or, you know, having to go to a networking event, or, you know, go to work all day and then meet a significant other for dinner or whatever. I mean, we have so many different things that get demanded of us in any given day. And it's really, for me, versatility is one of the key components to my designs. Things that, you know, I last two seasons ago, I think I designed this really cute kind of cocktail-y looking dress that was backless. And what I found was that a lot of lawyers really liked it because they could wear the cocktail dress was appropriate for work, and they could throw a blazer on over the top of it so they could be at work all day long. And, of course, the cocktail dress had pockets. So, you know, tactically it was realistic. They could throw a blazer on over it, have this really nice dress at work, and then they could go out for, you know, drinks, happy hour, dinner after work without having to run home, take the blazer off, and all of a sudden it was a completely different piece. So for me, the thing that, you know, I really try to infuse in my designs and something that I encourage, you know, girlfriends and stuff when they're shopping is try to look for stuff that's versatile. Can you wear it out to a business breakfast followed by, you know, 8 or 9 hours in the office, followed by, you know, going to, say, a PTA meeting or a dinner or whatever afterwards, and you know, something that really is going to have longevity. So that's what I really design to, is envisioning the woman that has so many different aspects in her life that she has to cater to in any given day, and how is what I design going to fit into that.
I love this. I mean, I love the idea of versatility for anyone, or that you can go from the office to a PTA meeting to a cocktail party and just be able to know that what you're wearing is perfect and feminine and powerful and sexy and comfortable and all of these things all at the same time.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
just
especially,
have that knowing that.
You know,
yeah.
Living in Los Angeles, it's so hard to, you know, you have to plan out your day so much, and it's like, well, am I going to have time to run home for 10 minutes and change before I head out to, you know, another thing in a different area of the city? Or, I mean, there's so many things pulling at us as women all the time that in order to, you know, to dress easily is important.
It's so great. It's so funny because just this week I had a business meeting in the afternoon and then I had a big event in the night that I had to go to this cocktail event, and they were nowhere near one another and it was impossible to get home in the process. And I actually knocked on a friend's door that lived in the area of where my meeting was and said, "Hi, so sorry, but can I use your house to change?" They're like, "Can you change your store? But see, if I was wearing one of your dresses, I wouldn't have even had to go through that or the thought."
Yeah.
And so I'm
the one. I will actually just change my car. Like, I'll just, you know, pull on a pair of pants, like, underneath a skirt and then, you know, unzip the skirt and slip. I'm like, I have changed anywhere and everywhere because, you know, I have stuff pulling at me that it's not a choice. I change where I have to change. But yeah, really being able to wear stuff that can translate into so many different situations is so important for women nowadays.
Oh, that's perfect. And how do people find your clothes? What's the best way to be able to experience? Yes.
Yeah. For now, the best way is on my website, and it's my name. It's briseely.com, briseely.com. I'm in the process of securing some more accounts with boutiques and stuff, but for the most part, I think they're going to be in Los Angeles. So if you're around the country, the best way is on my website.
And I love that they're cataloged by honest emotions.
Yes.
Instead of business stress or whatever, just the way that you have them listed gives you an energy and a feeling even before you go to that area. And then all of the dresses and all the glasses just fit right in so beautifully.
I'm another one too. Like, I'm a super moody, like, you know, what am I in the mood to wear? Or what am I in the mood to eat? Or even, you know, like, am I in the mood to wear high heels today or do I need to be in flats? Like, I'm very, even my music in my app that I use is divided into moods. You know, what am I in the mood to listen to? It's not necessarily like, you know, I'm very much run by emotions and by mood and what I'm feeling. And so I think that also translates into my fashions and my website and all that stuff. So.
Just beautiful. And as you talk about getting to know women from the inside out, I would love to talk to you about your inspirational women project because it's so profound. I mean, and you would think, oh, what a simple, easy idea. And instead, it's an idea that is groundbreaking. It's an idea that is so edging. There is something that you are so drawn to this, so magnetized to this. And as I was sharing with you, just we had an opportunity to speak just briefly as we were going on the air. And I was sharing with you that I had the opportunity to, you know, enjoy your event the other night, which was brilliant, by the way. I mean, one of the nicest events I've ever been to. Just beautiful and energetically just astounding. And the people that were there, just some of the best people I've ever met in my life, were brought together. And that at one point, when you were starting with your panel, I was on the other side of the wall. And in that moment, that single moment you began, the energy opened in the room in a way that I've never felt before. It was just like some veil had unlifted. And all of a sudden, just the gateway and the doorways were open to this feminine power and energy and possibility and love. It was just, it was so gorgeous. And so I would just love you to share about how the Inspirational Women Project came about and a little bit about it for our audience, because I really just think this is just one of the greatest gifts that we have today.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. So this time last year, I was running my fashion brand and I was super frustrated because being in the fashion industry is really difficult. And there's a lot of white noise and trying to get yourself to stand out above the white noise and get orders and, you know, sustain your business. It's a lot of hard work. So for the first like 5 months of the year last year, I felt like I was running on a hamster wheel and getting nowhere. And I was exhausted, I was expending all this energy, and I just really was not happy at all. So the beginning of May, I was standing at my cutting table, cutting out a bunch of dresses, and was thinking about, like, what needs to change and how do I need to shift this to really get the momentum going and be back in a happier place. And I had this idea of developing, so like I said, it was the beginning of May. My birthday is May 13th. So I had this idea of developing this 31-day blog series. I was turning 31 and was going to launch the blog series on my birthday with me and then have 30 women interviewed every day after me. And the whole interview was going to be around what does it mean to be a woman. And what I had kind of realized was that, you know, I've always gotten compliments on my fashions, always got, you know, everyone loves my work and it's beautiful and it's all these things, but women try it on and they're like, but I don't know how to wear this. Or I don't know where it would be appropriate to dress so feminine. And what I kind of realized was that women are not necessarily taught or conditioned to embrace their womanhood or their femininity. And so I was like, wow, maybe in order for my fashions to take off, I'm going to have to like kind of teach women what that means, like how it means, what it means to be a woman, how to be a woman, like, you know, what femininity means and kind of how to tap into that and like all these different things. So I started this 31-day blog series on May 13th. By May, I want to say it was like May 25th or 26th. I had gone to the California Women's Conference and heard Arianna Huffington speak. And the day after I heard her speak, I got some, you know, what would be considered bad news. And I actually ended up reaching out to her and saying, thank you so much for your speech. Here's everything that I took from it. Here's how I'm going to be applying it in my life. And here is the project that I recently began. And this is what I got this intuition during the conference that I needed to take this blog project bigger. It needed to be more than just 31 days on my blog. And so I shared it with her and I told her about it a little bit. And she emailed me back 5 hours later and said, I want you to start blogging about this topic on the Huffington Post. And it was just like this light bulb where I was like, oh my gosh, this huge door has just opened in front of me. Like I have to be on the right path. There has to be something here. And so one of the pieces of intuition that came to me during the conference was that I needed to take the 31 interviews and expand them into 100 and write and make it into a book. And so that was at the end of May. By July 7th, I started my first interview. Over the course of 8 weeks, I did 99 interviews. September 5th or 6th, I think, I launched on Kickstarter. Over the course of 5 weeks, I raised $15,000. The middle of October, the whole transcript got sent to a printer, and by January 7th, I had 500 books in my hand. So I also knew at the time that it needed to be a movement. So, you know, it's a coffee table book, which is great, but that's only 99 women. So when I started out this year, I said, I want to impact the lives of 5,000 women, which, by the way, by the end of April, I will have reached that goal. So I need to expand my number for then the rest of the, you know, 8 months of the year. But so I've decided that it needs to be this movement. So I threw this party in Los Angeles this Thursday, and my goal is to throw 10 additional events like that around the country for the rest of the year. And then also something came up this week too, where someone was like, you should start doing retreats. So I've started looking into what it would take to throw a women's retreat like in Sedona for a weekend or a week. So there is a movement component to it. It's still kind of unfolding. It hasn't really fully revealed itself to me yet. And I'm just kind of going with the flow and trying to see how it's going to all play out. So it all happened very quickly and I didn't necessarily plan the subsequent steps when I just jumped into doing the book. So
that's incredible. And for people that are listening to this program right now and are saying, gosh, I wish she would do one here in, you know, Oklahoma, or I wish she would do one here in Atlanta or wherever they are, and are interested in either helping you host or set up, or how should somebody contact you to participate or assist or become part, or even to be able to buy the book and find the book?
Well, okay, so we'll start off. So the book's available on my website, again, breezeely.com. There's also a contact form on my website, so if you want to reach out to me there. I also have an email address that's breezeely.com. You can email me. I am actively looking for women to co-host events with me around the country. I have pretty solid networks in a few of the, like, first cities on the list. at least for sure the last four cities I don't have networks in at all. And so I will definitely be looking for co-hosts in Chicago, New York, Miami, and Austin. But that'll be more towards, like, I'd say probably October, November of this year. If anyone wants to reach out to me too and wants me to come to their city and it's not on my list, I mean, as long as I have a good reason to, I love traveling. So, you know, I'm open. I would love to see this movement just kind of like take fire and really just spread like crazy, because what I realized doing the interviews is that some of the most powerful and amazing and influential women I know don't actually understand the power that they hold. They don't actually believe that they're inspirational, and they don't know how their gifts are being shared in the world. And I think that it's really important for each of us to kind of step back and look at that and also celebrate it. I think as women, we don't necessarily step back and celebrate nearly enough. So that's kind of part of what I want to change and bring expansion for women in that area as well.
That's beautiful. It's so interesting that you said that. I was at an event just recently. A friend of mine was teaching an event at the Westin Hotel, and I just went to support her. You know, I was in sweats, whatever, and I just said, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go support her and show up at her event. And I had not had anything to eat all day. Like, and I thought, I'm starved. I went down to the gift shop, and I bought, like, a little hummus pack with, like, hummus and crackers. And I was just sitting there having my hummus and crackers, and some man came over to me and said, "Hi, Nicole, how's your day going?" And I didn't realize I had my little name tag on, you know, so...
Yeah.
And he was in from Austin. Actually, maybe it's a contact for you. He was in from Austin, and he was there at some millionaires conference, business conference, learning. And we had a discussion about his conference, and he was just waiting for the van to go to the airport. And I asked him, I don't know why, what his greatest vision and dream was. And he said that he wanted to be a speaker, that even though he had a successful business, he wanted to share his information and who he was and how he had, you know, gotten to the platform he had gotten to. And I said, well, that's really funny because that's what I do. And I know a lot of people in Austin, and I know a lot of people in Texas that are in that world. And let me make some calls for you. And while I was there eating my hummus, I made some calls and connected him with the right people. And said, you know, I hope someday, you know, to see you and on stage, and, you know, I'll come to one of your events. And I wished him all the best. And a little minivan took him away. And I finished my hummus and crackers and went back to the event. And a couple weeks later, he sent me one of the most beautiful letters that I ever received. And he was saying how he's been to all of these events all over the world, how he's paid a fortune to go to these, you know, money events and marketing events or whatever. And that the person that gave him the most was me in the lobby, just Aww. Talking, whatever that is. And so when you're saying sometimes we don't even realize, like, I was just eating crackers and hummus,
yeah.
and that I was able to help this person. And now the fact that he's in Austin, maybe he can help you. And so we never know
yeah.
that the people that we're talking to or sharing with, or how something that we say can shift or change somebody's life.
Yep. I think one of the women talked about it on Thursday too. She said, I think I had asked, you know, how do you inspire the women in your life and in the world around you? And I think one of the women said, you know, when you're living from your truth, you just live. Like, you don't stop to think about, like, am I inspiring other people? Am I doing a good job? You know, you live from your heart because that's your truth. And that's probably one of the most inspiring things about anyone in the world. That guy approached you and you were just absolutely, like, being the heartfelt Nicole that you are. And that was the most inspirational gift you could give him.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. And as you've interviewed all these women, was there ever a time that you were just stopped or stunned, or somebody said something you wouldn't have thought of yourself, or in that moment it shifted your life? or took you to the next level or a different awareness in your world?
Yeah, it was really, you know, when my the one girlfriend of mine, I had asked her the same question, how do you inspire the world around you? And she said to me, well, I don't think I do. And I was like, it was like a slap in the face. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're a new mom. You know, she works for a big, you know, Fortune 500 company. She's a wife. She's a friend. She's a daughter. She's all these things. And I'm like, you really don't think that you inspire the people in your life? Because she inspires me. I mean, she's a beautiful soul. And it was just this moment to kind of step back and be like, wow, like we just, I don't know if it's as women, we just don't recognize it, or we're, like I said, we're just so busy like living from our hearts and doing, you know, living from our truths, but we just don't stop to see it. But it was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, some of the most inspirational and powerful and loving women I know don't see that within themselves. And then I had a moment where a friend of mine text messaged me and said, always remember you're a champion. And then I had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't believe that about myself. And so I went through this whole like kind of soul searching thing within myself for a few days of why don't I believe that I'm inspirational and why don't I believe that I'm impacting other people's lives. And yeah, it was interesting. I definitely took a stand against it. I ended up doing a photo shoot a few days later and recorded a video right before the shoot and was like, this is a turning point in my life. From here on out, I 110% believe that I'm inspirational. And I recognize that I'm changing the world, and here are the gifts that I have. So it was definitely a very eye-opening process. The whole, you know, I asked 15 questions to 99 women all around the world. Ages, I think it ranges from like 21 to 87. And the women were all from all different walks of life. Stay-at-home moms, students. I have a Holocaust survivor. I have two drag queens. I have, CEOs and DEAs. And, I mean, every possible part of the spectrum that you could imagine, I tried to hit. So
that's incredible. And then when you were growing up, you know, I look at your clothes, which to me are perfect, by the way. I'm just going to come over your house and I'm going to go shopping, just so you know that. I want everything you design. And did you, I mean, I look at the things that you've created and part of me says, Audrey Hepburn, you know, I see this classical elegance and that this free-flowing beauty and just there's so many images and countries and lifestyles that come to mind when I'm looking at your clothing. And so who inspired you? Did you have mentors or did you have people in your own life? I know your grandmother taught you to sew, but were there heroes that you had or even style that you
Yeah,
followed?
I mean, I have yeah. had the most amazing women in my life from, you know, like I said, my grandmother, my mother, you know, my mom worked at a college when I was growing up. And so when I was six, you know, I was hanging out with college students all the time and looking up to them. And I've had some of the most phenomenal mentors. I mean, and I've had like women all over the world adopt me. I have, you know, I had a pseudo mom in Italy and, you know, a pseudo mom when I went to college. And when I moved to Washington, I had kind of a mom figure there. And I have had some of the most phenomenal female role models to look up to. I was part of Big Brothers Big Sisters when I was very young, and I'm still, you know, 25 years later, still in contact with my big sister from when I was six. And yeah, I mean, they're really the ones that I've kind of modeled my life after, is these, you know, really strong, powerful, beautiful, independent women. So yeah, I've been really blessed to know and experience the whole spectrum of women in my life. And, you know, they all believe in me and they all love me. And in fact, it was one of the women that was one of my mom's students back in the 90s that was one of my biggest Kickstarter supporters, and she's actually in the book as well. So I kind of joked about it at the event on Thursday, but, like, I collect amazing people. Like, that's what I do. I meet these amazing people, and I hold on to them, and I you know, try to collaborate with them and work with them to highlight their talents and feature them in what I'm doing, and it's really fun.
That's great. I'm glad that you brought up the Big Sisters, because as people are listening to this show right now, I know that very often somebody would say, I don't know how to make a difference. I don't know what I can do. And very often we think of mentors in business, that you find somebody mm-hmm. that made your fortune, or you find somebody who became successful in that field or that industry, and you read their book or you model what they did or you try to follow in their footsteps. But the fact that you can be a big sister, or you can be an amazing neighbor, or take somebody under your wing, or share with somebody your heart or your spirit or your soul, or teach them to sew, or whatever that is, and that there are different ways to mentor and inspire. And I love the fact that you had a big sister helping you do that. And do you have any advice for women that are listening to the show, how they can share their inspiration with others?
I mean, I think, you know, I touched on it a little bit before, is that the biggest thing is really just, you know, live your purpose and live from your heart. You know, people can feel that from you when you're out in the world. And the more you're able to do that, the more you're going to attract to you other people that are doing the same thing. And I mean, I think that's just really the biggest, you know, figure out what motivates you and what you're passionate about, and live from that place every day.
That's great. It's great advice. And I'd love to also talk to you about Kickstarter, because I didn't even realize that that's... So you took your blog to Kickstarter and said, hi, everybody, I'd like to create a book. You know, come join me in this effort. Or I love the fact that, because it's, as we talk about entrepreneurial, and people say, oh, I don't have enough money or funds, or I don't have enough support to make this dream come true. And you took your dream and you launched it. And I would love you to share a bit about that.
So when I launched it on Kickstarter, I had already done all the interviews. So I had finished all 99 interviews, and I was actually in the process of formatting each interview into a PDF to be able to print, and launched it on Kickstarter. It was after all the interviews were done, and I think I was in the process of formatting all the PDFs. But yeah, Kickstarter is interesting. It's amazing. If you have the right strategy. But it really is, you know, people are like, oh, well, you just threw your idea up on the internet and you made, you know, $15,000. And I'm like, that is not, I mean, the strategy that goes behind even figuring out how the video is going to play and where you're going to film the video and what kind of flow the video is going to have and how the video is going to tie in with the words that are on the screen. Because you have to, you know, type out your story as well, and then what kind of rewards you're going to give, and how those rewards are going to give value to someone that's giving you money in exchange for them. And, you know, you have to have a press and marketing strategy. And I mean, it really is. People look at it from the outside and they're like, oh, you just threw a good idea up on the internet, and there's a lot more that goes into it than just that. I mean, there was a whole social media strategy, and it was 5 weeks of, you know, 12 to 15 hour days every day, really just pushing and getting people to pay attention to it and remembering to contribute. So I always recommend to people, you know, really, really sit down and figure out why you're doing it, who your target market is, how you can reach them, and, you know, what the best value for them is going to be to contribute. So.
Wow. I love that you just stepped forward so bravely, so courageously into this inspirational life. The fact that you sent this letter saying I was inspired by your work, and that you ended up on the Huffington Post. The fact that you went out and you interviewed all of these women, and from 31, now 40, now 50, 60, 70, all of these stories. And what was the reaction when you approached people and said, hi, I would like to interview you? Did you go to the women directly, or did you put it out there, I'm looking for women who want to share their inspirational stories?
It was kind of a mixture of a lot of different things. So the way that the book is arranged is actually in the order that the interviews happened. First and foremost, I put out emails to the women in my network and said, hey, guys, I'm going to be doing this. Here's how I see it playing out. It's 15 questions. I'd love to do it over the phone or over Skype. Let's set a date. And a lot of them responded, and a good amount of them didn't. And I started just really scheduling the interviews, getting them going. A few women adamantly refused to do the interviews and wanted to type out and send me their questions, which I allowed a few of them to do. Some of them I put my foot down and said, no, I'm interviewing you. And then there came a point where they were kind of like stalling a little bit. So that's when I put a plea out on Facebook and was like, I have 1,700 Facebook friends. Like, you all have to know at least one amazing woman. Introduce me to her. or some of the women in the book, I'd get their interview done and they would be like, oh, well, do you need more? I'd be like, yeah, do you know someone? And they'd make an introduction so it was good. It was a whole mixture of things. There were some really specific women that I wanted in the book and I reached out to and said, I admire you. I followed you for years. Thank you for what you do. Would you like to contribute? And I got some yeses and some nos. Getting ready to do it again. I've already started curating volume 2 of the book. So I'm trying to figure out how I get some of the more notable women into the book. And I'm trying to figure out, an email to reach out to all of them with and see how I can get them to say yes and believe in the movement and support it. So,
well, I might be able to help you there. So.
Well, and you have to be in volume 2, so we'll have to set up that interview at some point as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And then how did you come up with your 15 questions?
How did I come up with them? So the first three were part of the blog series. And they were, what does it mean to you to be a woman? When do you feel most feminine? And what's your favorite thing about being a woman? And I think the other 12, I just sat down at my computer one day and just kind of made them up. But it was interesting after, you and I met at the Archangel Academy on Thursday and Friday. It was that Friday night, I was on my way to have dinner with some girlfriends, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden, the 15 new questions for the second book, popped into my head. And so I'm, driving with my left hand. I pull my journal out with my right hand. I grab a pen. I kind of flip it open to a page that looks blank as I'm, driving in the dark, and I just start scribbling down the 15 questions because I'm like, I cannot forget these. This is it. These are the questions. So, they come to me in a variety of different ways. But when I get those lightning bolts, those downloads, I know that I have to record them immediately or they will be gone. So.
That's amazing. It's interesting because when you ask somebody, what's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? Whatever that is. And what's your favorite time of day? People just pop out answers. And I was so amazed because you had a cameraman at your event, and he would go around and he'd ask women your question, what's your favorite part about being a woman or whatever. And so many women, they don't know what to say.
Exactly.
I was shocked because, somebody could say peanut butter and jelly, sushi, pasta, We could answer in significance, but something significant about yourself, about your life, about your femininity, about your power. And I found fun and amazement in following the camera guy to see
I'll
what
have to
people
ask
would
him about
say.
That. That's awesome. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, there's a video that's on my landing page on my website, and he's the one that did that video as well. And he kind of did the same thing where each of the women had to answer, my favorite part about being a woman is, or I love being a woman because. And it was the same thing. So many of the women, you know, were like, oh, well, can I go last in the day? And they spent the whole afternoon trying to craft what they were going to say about why they loved being a woman. And it is, it's interesting that, like, you know, and on Thursday, too, I asked each of the women on the panel, what's one word that you would choose to be synonymous with woman? And they're questions that we don't ask and that we don't think about and that we really, truly don't necessarily have answers to. I mean, until we stop and we're like, wow, and we take a second to really kind of sit with the question. And then most women, you know, it comes to them very easily. But, yeah, they are not, like, default answers because I think that they're questions that aren't being talked about or asked.
That to me is the most luscious part, is that not only are you inspiring women, not only are you collaborating and bringing women together and awakening and enlightening and all of these amazing things that you're doing on a daily, minute, seconds-to-second basis, but you're also connecting women to themselves.
Yeah. And that was one of the really important things for me is that, you know, especially with the dress aspect of things, I feel like women could be more powerful in the world if we embrace and really truly recognize our feminine abilities. I feel like I always say, I dream of a world where women can walk into a boardroom wearing a maxi skirt, like a flowing chiffon maxi skirt, and be just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the men in the room. Mm-hmm. And as it sits right now, most of our, you know, kind of boardroom scenarios or executive level jobs, corporate positions, things like that, have dress codes. And a lot of women will come to me and say, well, we really love your stuff, but we can't wear it to work because there's dress code policies about what you can and can't wear in the office. And I don't know, it saddens me a little bit that women are still being forced into taking on that masculinity in the office because that's what's seen as powerful and successful. But I don't understand why being feminine can't also correlate with being powerful and successful. Because it doesn't make sense in my head. I don't know why that mentality is there. And it's one of my goals to shift it.
And when I look at your clothes, Bree, they are powerful. I mean, and I could absolutely, you're saying, you know, attorneys that, you know, wear your dresses or they transcend and they translate the femininity, that power, the success, the ease. I mean, there's something so beautiful. And people ask me all the time, you know, where did you get that outfit, whatever. And it's the same way on the red carpet. Somebody says, this is a Versace. I just can't wait to be saying this is Bree Staley because all of your clothes, I do. I went through the shopping thing, and I went, okay, this is crazy. I just need a new card because I just want everything on your site. I want one of everything or maybe a couple of everything so I can gift them. But it's just everything that you do. And so when you're wearing, as you were sharing, that you'll try something on yourself and wear it to a meeting and see if it works or wear it to an event. And so what do you say when someone comes up and says, oh, what a pretty top or what a pretty dress or where did you get that? Do you just like bat your eyes and say, I created it? Or
usually, yeah. Yeah. I'll pull the like, oh, thank you. I'm a fashion designer and I made it. And, you know, I'll pull a business card out or something. And then people are like, what? You're what? You did what? You made that? Everyone's always so astounded, and it's funny. It's funny to me because for me, like, sewing and creating, you know, I learned it at such a young age that it's really akin to me with, like, walking or breathing or, like, it's such an ingrained skill set to me that I just don't even think about it. Like, I had a party several years ago that I wanted to go to, and it was a black and white party. And I went through my closet, and I had black dresses, and I had white dresses, but I had no black and white dresses. So that night I like went to Joann Fabrics because I was still living in Washington and got some black and white fabric and like went to the office the next day and my best friend was there and she's like, oh, did you figure out what you're going to wear? And I pulled out my phone and showed her a picture and she was like, you did not just make that. And I was like, yeah, last night, like, I don't know, I had like an hour and she's like, oh my God, I hate you. She's like, really? Like, you just get to do that. And I'm like, apparently, that's what I do. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a divine gift. It's so amazing. And is it more difficult to sew for yourself or to create for yourself than to create for, you know, a mannequin or a woman, or to see somebody else wearing it? Or is it easier, you know?
I have less standards about when I sew for myself. Like, my mom was joking. She's in town right now, and she was joking the other day, I have this pair of yoga pants that's too long. And, of course, instead of, like, fixing it and hemming it, I just have them, like, safety pinned up. And she was laughing. She's like, you know, it's always the cobbler's kid that has the holes in his shoes, right? So when I sew for myself, I just so that it, like, is good enough so that, like, looks good on the outside, but it's probably, like, when you take it off, it's not constructed properly at all. Because for me, I don't care. But if it's for a client or a customer or whatever, I'm definitely a lot more meticulous about making sure that it's right and perfect and fits well. And so, yeah, I'm much more lax about sewing for myself.
And are you available if somebody wants you to design something for them, for an event or for?
Yeah, actually, oddly enough, I in the past few months have gotten 2 wedding dress clients that I'm currently working with and custom creating. You know, we have like secret Pinterest boards where they can pin stuff on, and then we can communicate back and forth on the picture without anyone else seeing it. And they're women from out of state. So they'll fly into Los Angeles. We'll go fabric shopping together, take their measurements, do up like a mock-up kind of dress, and then create the one out of like the real fabric, and then get it to them before their wedding. So fun. Yeah.
Just beautiful. Absolutely, unbelievably, remarkably beautiful. And then you made some sort of comment at the top of the show that I know we've got people typing in all these questions. So I haven't come back to this question yet, but I guess since we only have a couple minutes left, yes, I will ask your question. So we've got such a fabulous audience. You said something about the shoes and the handbag, and is it important to be the Geranimals woman? And be ensemble, or can you just?
No, I feel like we're at this point in history where, like, kind of anything works. I mean, you know, I personally don't look at trends. I don't follow what's happening and hot on the runways or, you know, those kinds of things. Like, because I believe, really realistically, the most important thing is that you feel comfortable in it. And if you're just wearing something because someone else says you should, probably not necessarily, like, the best to follow. You know, for me, like, in my personal life, I've had this job that I've hated for years. And I let go of it. And a lot of people said, well, you know, maybe you should just, you know, hold on to it. And it might be a good idea. And for me, if I'm listening to what other people think I should be doing with my life, then I'm not following my passion and my purpose. So, you know, whatever shoes you want to put with an outfit, as long as you feel comfortable and confident in it, do it. Whatever handbag you want to add to your outfit, as long as you feel comfortable and confident in it, do it. I really don't think that there are rules with fashion anymore. As long as it jives with who you are as a person and how you feel on the inside.
That's such a special, spectacular answer. Thank you for that. I'm sure you've got a million thanks from our audience out there. That was like,
I just say, you know what? As long as you're confident, it will show. If you're uncomfortable wearing something, it will come across. People can read that stuff. So whatever you wear, wear it with confidence and wear it with love and just do it. And if someone doesn't like it, the other way. I mean, realistically, just be happy with what you have and who you are. And that's really all any of us can do.
So beautiful. I just love who you are, Bree. I'm so glad that our paths have crossed. And for all of you out there that are vigorously writing briefly and how to get into find the Inspirational Woman Project, to buy the book, to be able to reach out to Bree and say, come to my city, my state, my country, come speak here, come design here, make my wedding dress, come do a women's event here. Just you're welcome to send a text message. Simply pick up your phone, send a text message to 55678. Really easy, 55678. And the message is simply Nicole. And you can automatically download a copy of today's show. And so just 55678 Nicole. You can hear it on your phone or any mobile device. You can carry Brie around as you're exercising, doing your laundry, taking a bubble bath with some wine and candles and listen to her again. Share all her wisdom, her amazing information, and how to find and contact her for her extraordinary clothes, the most amazing heart and spirited soul person I've ever met, and certainly somebody making a difference throughout humanity in being able to awaken women worldwide. So,
well, and I just want to make one last quick note. I know we're coming to the end, but today is actually International Women's Day. And so I just want to say, first, happy International Women's Day to you and to everyone listening, because it's a really exciting day. I've spent the day kind of connecting with my mom and just doing some really fun women things. And the other thing I've been encouraging people on social media to do today is really kind of tap into, like, what do you love about being a woman? And why do you love being a woman? And it's kind of a cool, exciting, special day to really answer that and kind of look at that within yourself. So happy International Women's Day.
Well, thank you. And a happy International Women's Day to you too, and Brie. It's a joy having you here. We look forward to having you back with us again. And
thank
for
you.
All of you out there, for Brie Seeley and for myself, Nicole Brandon, we are wishing you the happily ever after, and that may all your wishes and your dreams come true. We thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Wow. What an extraordinary, incredible, remarkable guest, Brie Seeley. Her work, her clothing, her sense of style, fashion, heart, sharing, caring, love is absolutely profound. So it's a great honor and pleasure sharing her with you, sharing her keys, her secrets, her tools and techniques to that inspiring life as a woman. And for all of you out there, happy International Women's Day. And we look forward to seeing you next week on Hourglass Bride.